Blog Talk Radio.
Weekend of WFA action in Chicago, in Pittsburgh, and obviously in the LFL US, a slate of games on YouTube and live in Omaha. Omaha was the exciting game upset between the Breeze and the Heart. So we'll talk about that in the two-minute drill and go exclusively on that. I want to give a shout-out to the WFA for helping us out networking with us. Great format, great information. And then they got a deal made, the Silver Sport, which is Frank O'Hara's Silver Sport organization, is going to go ahead and sponsor the national championship at Balboa Stadium. So it's a huge announcement that was made this week. The Women's Football Alliance national title game will be in San Diego, of all places, which is an amazing area to be in. And it will be at Balboa Stadium, historic Balboa Stadium, which is formerly the home of the San Diego Chargers of the National Football League. So that's going to be a great event. And, you know, it's in the background of the San Diego Surge. They were the champs last year. We'll see if this year they can muster it to get to their own home stadium to see if they can muster another national championship. So welcome to Gridiron Beauties Radio. I'm your host, Oscar Lopez, and we have a great show on tonight. Today we have in the No Joke Football Huddle, we have Trina Graves, which is part of the Maritime Women's Football League, and obviously a part of Team Canada 2010, and she will be a part of 2013 Team Canada squad that will go to Finland in about a month's time. So we'll talk to her in about 10, 12 minutes from now, and we'll get her insights as to what's going on with Team Canada, her perspective in terms of the new season in the Maritime Women's Football League, and then we'll talk a little bit of football and everything else in general. So No Joke Football Huddle coming up in about 10 minutes or so. So in the meantime, I want to give a shout-out to Ashley Helmstetter. She was no longer playing in the Legends Football League, formerly the Lingerie Football League. She was scheduled to play this year. I want to just give a shout-out to her for supporting our brand from day one, helping us out as well. And she's an amazing player. She's like a pioneer for the Legends Football League. When it started in 2009, she started with the Miami Caliente. Miami Caliente had an amazing group of women on that team, and she was part of that as well. So I want to give a shout-out to her and best wishes to her in her career. I know she's doing her individual career move for this reason and had some injuries as well. So she's moving on, but we will miss her. All our fans on Twitter and Facebook will miss her. We did post her pick on there before the Baltimore game for appreciation for her and her contributions to the sport on the Legends Football League side. So shout out to Ashley Helmstetter of the Baltimore, formerly of the Baltimore Term. We want to go into the format. So if you're new to the show, we welcome you with open arms. Our show format is interactive, and we engage via social media platforms. So there'll be Twitter primarily and Facebook. We also do Instagram and Pinterest. If you're participating in that. But if you want to participate, you can do so in various ways. On Twitter, you can submit questions to our guests prior to our show using #GB Radio, after any comment that you would post on Twitter. What we do is we tally that weekly and then go forward and select a handful to address with our huddle guests. So you can also call in by dialing 1714-888-888-7418 to talk to our guests. we love feedback on our show, and our guests as well. And you can have you can leave comments here on Blog Talk Radio as well under the comment box down below. We encourage everyone to network with us by sharing retweets on Twitter, posts on Facebook, and information about your league, players, and organization, so that we can basically share and retweet that information and get it out to the fans that in your area or fans that do not know about you globally and that should know about you now. We also have a format to get the word out in terms of events, sponsorships, and branding news by using hashtag 2-Minute Drill. On any post on Twitter, we tally those 2-Minute Drill posts weekly, and at the end of the show, we shout out to our listeners where you're going to be at for the next week. So week ending the 2nd was yesterday. Any events for week ending the 7th or 8th of next week is what we would give a shout out to our listeners to let them know where you're going to be at in terms of events or sponsorships that's going on for that week for your league or team or individually in terms of anything that you're doing as a player. So, example, we want to participate, we want to engage, and we really want to make sure that everybody is in tune with that. So we want to thank our amazing network of sources that provide us with women's gridiron news and newts globally. Without them, we would not be here bringing you the news and notes. And I want to give a shout-out to the network that obviously provides us with that information on Twitter, at Backseat Coach, at WFA Scores, at IWFL, the Independent Women's Football League, the Women's Spring Football League at WSFL, Football Nacional, which is out in Europe for us, FXF Mexico, which is the Gridiron Women's League in Mexico, Jane TV Football at Jane TV Football as well, who's covering some of the prominent information with the WFA as well, FIFA underscore Spain, which is the prominent league in Spain with the Women's Gridiron and the main source that we get for the Spanish team that's going to the World's Women's Championship. WTF of Canada at Women's Tackle Football Canada, and they keep us abreast of what's going on in the Canadian game, as well as Canadian chat on Twitter, and Touchdown Europe. And Touchdown Europe is the exclusive home for the Women's World Championship interviews, insights, and news building up to Finland. So you can go on Facebook. It's Touchdown Europe on Facebook, Touchdown Europe at Twitter. And you can also visit their website at touchdown-europe.net. And they have an exclusive bios and infos on all the team members from all the various teams that are going to be in the tournament. So we thank them for their amazing work weekly on giving us the league info and player news on what's coming up for the event and the tournament as well. Since we are in the U.S. and we're based here, we cover the most prominent leagues in the gridiron game, whether it's traditional or non-traditional. We cover the Women's Football Alliance, the Independent Women's Football League, the Women's Spring Football League, the Western Women's Canadian Football League, the Maritime Women's Football League, the Legend Football League, all branches, Women's Arena Football League that's slated to go into effect in 2013-2014, the Sugar and Spice Football League out in Texas, the Women's Indoor Football League slated for 2014 in the summertime, and also the international scene. We network with the various groups, Guam Women's Tackle Football League, and we'd like to thank Guam Sports for helping us out, as well as Don Mon for giving us updates on our Facebook page and keeping the fans abreast of what's going on. And a shout-out to Team Legacy this weekend. Team Legacy finished their season 10-0, undefeated. Morgan Reyes, GS Sarasol, primarily, give them 2 out, plus the team as well, so we don't want to exclude the team. Great job, 10-0, undefeated season. They finished up the Island Stunners on Saturday, 47-0, and a huge success in their season. You can catch some of their highlights on our Twitter feeds as well as our Pinterest, and we'll get updated on Facebook at some point here during the week. So congratulations to the GWTFL champion, Team Legacy. The LNFA out of Spain, which is the Liga Nacional de Football Americana, they cover the women's gridiron game there with the rookies and all the other teams that are in Spain. We also cover the CIFAF, which is the Italian league that covers that, and we had a feature on Veronica Bassano of the Tempest team on Facebook, so that helped us out tremendously there. And then we also have the ACT Women's Football League as well, and the LFL Australia that's coming up as well. So our computer's gotten shut down here, so I'm still on the air, I hope. And we're going to try to get Trina on here in a couple minutes. Unfortunately, we got some technical difficulties going on here. So you can visit us on Facebook under our like section as well, and you can follow us globally pretty much at that point. So we're going to go ahead, see if we can reschedule this thing here. I apologize for the shutdown here at this point. It's being rescheduled, so we'll go from there. And we'll reset this up. And like I said, I truly apologize for this. I don't know what's going on with the technical difficulties at this point. But we'll get you back up and running right now, and we'll get up and head over to get Tina on the line shortly here, in a couple minutes here. So in the meantime, we had a great amount of slate games going on. It basically worked out to the WFA title. Chicago Force was taking on the Titans, and we had that going on during the week. And then we also had the big games in the LFL US. So I'm going to take a minute here and figure out what's going on with our system here, and I will be back in just a tad bit. Okay, so we should be back up and running here. Let me see if I can get Trina on the air here. Let's see here. Let's see. Hey, Trina, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. We had some minor technical difficulties here on our end, so I apologize for that. So how's it going today?
Not too bad. Recovering from yesterday.
How was that matchup yesterday? I looked at the score. It was pretty tough, huh?
It was a really good game. 37-7, I believe the final was. So the first quarter seemed to be a little difficult on both sides, and we picked it up from there. So.
Well, that's great. Now you had an opportunity to start the season. So this is week 3 of your season, right?
That was our second game. That was our home opener.
Oh, so that was a home opener for you guys. So it's like week two, basically, at this point for you guys? Or was it the first game of the season for you guys?
No, that was the second game of the season. We had our season opener in Moncton last weekend, and this weekend was our home opener here in St. John.
Great. So are you guys excited for this season? I know this is like the 10th anniversary. It's a kind of a big milestone for the league in itself and for those that obviously haven't participated over the nine previous years. So are you guys excited over this season?
There's a lot of excitement going on over this season, and there's a lot of activities going on as far as each individual team having their home games, and as well we're planning the finals here for St. John and trying to get as many people involved and local businesses and stuff like that and really get it out there that women's football in general, but to highlight as well as our 10th season. So.
Well, that's great, and I know you had you guys had Papa John's. Corporate actually sponsoring the Super Bowl event for the title game, which is that's a huge commendable sponsorship effort on the league's part.
Absolutely, we have Papa John's, we have Moose Light that's giving us some sponsorship as well. But Papa John's was doing fan of the game, so trying to get as many people out with our colors and stuff like that, and from all areas, no matter if it's a home game for St. John, we hope that Halifax people would come down and root on their players as well.
Well, that's great. That's great to hear. Because it's really hard to get sponsors. I know I just announced the WFA obviously had Silver Sport sponsor it again this year. And put the game out in the Balboa Stadium, which is NFL style stadium, college stadium. So that's a huge uplift for women's gridiron, especially in the States. Second year in a row that's happened. But I know you and your league have four stable teams over the 9 years. I believe it was five at one point. Is that correct?
We were going to go with five. We were trying to get Prince Edward Island to actually join the league, which didn't actually happen. So the league started off with two teams in the inaugural year in 2004, and then started growing from there. But we definitely have four stable teams in the league. Of course, all teams struggle with numbers from time to time, but recruiting is always a push that we have on, no matter if it's the beginning of the season, end of the season, or off season. So.
So now, Tarina, I know you've been with the league a long time. Has that been a concern, going forward in terms of getting the word out that there is women's gridiron in that area of, over by the Maritime? Because I know in the Western Canadian side of things, there's a lot of positive turnouts from the colleges and universities from what I hear from some of the players in that region. So has it been a little bit more difficult in that regard on the East Coast side?
I think we do have a more difficult time only because our numbers are, our cities are smaller, so we have, smaller numbers right off the bat as far as recruitment goes. And even for the universities, a lot of girls that are going to university play university sports, whether it be volleyball, basketball, soccer, what have you. And, football is a different beast when it comes to practice times and playing times and whatnot. So it's harder, I think, to work around, but we definitely have a little bit more of an issue, I think, with not only getting numbers, but maintaining those numbers as well.
So now, Tarina, I'll dive into some financials because a lot of the leagues obviously have financial constraints, and it all comes down to logistics and obviously money. So, mm-hmm. Are the fees for the league, for participating in the league, are they too high? Are they fair enough at this point for anybody to really, participate in that regard in terms of the league structure?
I think the fees actually are fair, and each individual team has other financial aspects that they struggle with. For example, here in St. John, we do our best on a very small field in behind an elementary school as far as practices go. So we don't have turf to practice on. We don't have a line field type of thing, and it's not full-size type of thing. So our practicing isn't going to cost us as much as, for example, maybe a team that the only thing they can get is, the rental of a turf field. So their fees for their players are going to be higher in that respect. So it's not just league fees that come into play. It's, renting gear and getting fields and practice times and whatnot. So I think that would affect numbers as well, making sure that you have practice times that are cohesive with everybody's schedule and, getting people out that way.
Right. So is the roster still a standard roster with you guys in terms of 53? Are you guys carrying a little bit under that?
Oh, our rosters range anywhere between, I would say, 20 and 30. So we have very, very small rosters. Moncton right now, you know, is carrying a few less than they would like to. I think we're carrying a few less than we'd like to. We have 25 on roster, but we have a couple injuries type of thing. Last season, we actually were playing with the minimum. We played 17 people. So almost everybody was playing both ways.
Oh, wow. So that was a huge, and then the weather is a huge factor up there too, right? I believe it's probably a lot colder in some in aspects in certain areas.
It's actually not really bad. I would prefer personally to play in colder weather because of the gear and whatnot. Our weather is normally, the other day when we were playing on the turf, it was actually 30 degrees Celsius. So on the turf, it was probably at 35. And then towards the fourth quarter, it clouded over. And, you know, we got a little bit of a reprieve. But I would say our standard temperature is anywhere between 17 and 25, probably. And even in Moncton and Fredericton, it gets a little bit hotter than that. But, I mean, those are normal temperatures for here. So for us, 25 is pretty warm.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I'm in California, so I probably can't relate as well as the East Coast. I guess I'm spoiled in some ways. 60 all the time in the 70s, and I'm wearing shorts or bikinis. Not myself, of course, but, you know. So what do you think of the league itself? I know they updated their website. I've been researching them since 2009. It looks like the organization has a good headstrong mentality in terms of, you know, branding and sponsorships. And it looks like, you know, it's been pretty successful, obviously, for over 9 seasons. So what do you think of the future going forward after this year in terms of, you know, the name recognition on that side of the coast and maybe the opportunities for, obviously, future sponsorship?
I think as long as the mindset that the league has right now, and it's grown leaps and bounds since I started. I started halfway through the season in 2007, so 2008 was my first full year with St. John Storm. And as far as the dynamics of the league and how much they're pushing for recognition for women's football and having 21 girls from the Maritimes represent on Team Canada in 2010 really brought a lot of light to the fact that we are playing. And there's still people, even though our city is small, there's still people that have no idea that we have a women's tackle football team. So to get the word out and to really grow the sport, and it being our 10th anniversary and the amount of man hours that's being put into this with updating the website and all of teams having, you know, their Facebook pages and their websites up to date and really get the word out. I think if they can continue that momentum, that it will, you know, we'll be able to carry on and really sustain the league.
Now, I have I've talked to various other leagues that we work with, that we network with on, you know, on our Twitter feeds and our Facebook since we started our, you know, our brand. And a lot of the teams that I've, you know, talked to, there's no name faces. And I think it's really important that, you know, each team needs to put out, you know, a name brand quarterback, a receiver, a running back, a defensive player as a staple. So especially like on your Facebook pages, for example, it's more visual. If you have an Instagram page, a lot more visual than anything. Do you think going forward the opportunity is there to maybe put a face to the team in that regard for a season? Because I think most of our fans that we interact with that, you know, messages or direct messages, they're interested in the league, but they just have no name recognition. You know, in other words, there's no top person that you can, you know, recognize or kind of relate to. So I think that's one of the challenges that most leagues have, especially with social media, is the fact that they're not putting out, you know, a name like yourself. Let's say you personally would be the person or the face of the league in that sense, or it would be the face of the St. John Storm. And that would be a regular, you know, Chicago, for example. I'll give you an example. Chicago Force, what they do is they rotate their roster on a weekly basis on their website or their social media page. And what they do is they do what they call a promo poster. So one of the players is being promoted on the poster and billed for the next game. You know, next game is June 8th against the Vipers as an example, but your face is on the front poster. In other words, you know, so people know who to come see or who's interactive with that? Do you feel that maybe that's lacking in that sense in some aspect?
I think that's a fantastic idea, and I'm not sure why we're not promoting individuals in that type of respect. I know that as soon as, you know, the 2013 roster came out for Team Canada, we have a lot of things going up on the billboards and stuff like that, and on the websites about different articles on the different the girls that are actually going away to Team Canada 2013. But what a great idea, to your point, you know, put someone up on your Facebook page and rotate the roster, you know, every few days, even if you have a few numbers or a few names that you can reference when you're going to these games. So I think that's a fantastic idea, and it's definitely lacking as far as our league to really bring focus on, you know, a couple individual people so you can start getting to know the players that are on these teams. And it's not just the St. John Storm or the Moncton Vipers. It's, oh, it's this person or that person that I'm going to, you know, check out kind of thing.
And, you know, it builds up character, and it also builds up kind of like a perception from the fans' perspective, because to your point, you know, when you talk the NFL, for example, or you talk any other sports in general and just in sports, the fans need to be drawn to an individual, you know, either be a community strong based individual or somebody that obviously is a focal point, you know, and then they thrive on that person, and they really focus on the individual, coming to see the individual. And it's kind of a draw in that regard, because if they are coming to see Tawina Graves, you know, knock off, you know, and take care of the Vipers, it's a different mindset for the fan. And it's like, they really want to engage. When you just put, hey, it's the Storm versus the Vipers, somebody's probably like, oh, okay, that's whatever, you know. But when you have an individual,
right,
whether it be a defensive player, if that's your standout, you know, because depend on the season, how your season goes, it really will depend on who you put up, you know, to promote in that way. So is there any players on your team right now, since we have you on, that – so our listeners and our fans on Twitter and on Facebook, is there any notable players that you can tell us about this season? It's early, I know, but anybody that's standing out right now so far on your team in the early season?
I think there's a few girls that come to mind right off. The first one that comes to mind is Ashley Clemens, and she has actually just migrated over from defensive end. We had some numbers drop off in our backfield, so she has, you know, she's taking and playing her hand at running back at this point, and she's doing a fantastic job. Most of our backs in the backfield are either rookies or people who have moved from other positions. So someone who's really showing, you know, a lot of drive to move around is Ashley Clements. And, of course, the driving force for our team, you know, and getting the girls motivated is our quarterback, Lisa Harlow. So I guess I'll throw out those two names right off as people who, you know, when you come to see a game, if something's going to happen, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, the names are Ashley Clemens and the name is Lisa Harlow.
Oh, well, great. Is there any standouts in the league from your perspective on the other three teams that we should know about? I mean, anybody else that comes to mind that is, you know, highly competitive and somebody that you obviously, you know, really look forward to engaging and compete against?
There's a couple of different people that I would have to say. When it comes to the Moncton Vipers, I would see Marie Noel is an incredible player. She plays free safety. She also plays running back. So she plays on both sides of the field. And, you know, when you have your offense on the field, chances are if you're going one way or the other, she has, you know, cleats that don't stop, and she's lightning, and she will get to the sidelines. It doesn't matter where you are. So she's an incredible defensive player, and as you know, offense, especially for me being a defensive end, if you don't read her properly, you know, she's going to burn a ring around you and keep going. So as far as Moncton Vipers, I would have to, you know, call out her name, and she's also a member of the Team Canada roster. As far as the Lady Glads up in Fredericton, there's been, you know, a lot of articles and stuff like that, and, you know, a lot being said about Alex Black. She's a phenomenal athlete. She's very young, so she's going to still be in it, you know, for years and years to come, type of thing. But she is the quarterback for the Lady Glads, and she also plays in their backfield on defense. But I think her standout is definitely on offense, and being able to read a defense and being able to, you know, make calls. And when things aren't working, she really takes the ball into her own hands. So she's very smart in the way of football, and she understands how the game works, and she's very strategic. So I would definitely throw her name out for the Lady Gladys.
Now, I know you guys had separate camps for Team Canada, so there's probably an East Coast, West Coast from what I hear. I know Moose Jaw was primarily for the Western Canadian teams. So where are you guys gathering at this point prior to Finland? Are you guys gathering in a certain central location, or is it going to be two separate camps? Or
no, we're actually gathering in one location. Everyone is flying, either leaving, depending on, of course, where you are in Canada. I personally am leaving St. John with the rest of the girls from the Maritimes on the 22nd of June, and everyone is meeting in Finland. And there's a training camp outside of Helsinki, about an hour and a bit outside of Helsinki, and we will be spending our time there prior to the tournament. So we all get to meet in that location and spend some time together and really, you know, have your four-hour-a-day practices and your team meetings and your, you know, hit it hard for a week and come together as a team before you face, you know, well, for us it would be Spain and Finland.
Now, what was the biggest challenge, do you think, in 2010 for you? You know, obviously the score doesn't reflect your effort, because I think it was 66-0 versus Team USA. But prior to the tournament, you know, prior to coming into the big game, you guys played pretty well. So what do you consider at this point, looking back at it on 2010, what was one of the big obstacles that maybe the team had, obviously, to, you know, not put such an amazing effort at the end? I know you guys did well going towards the end, but at the last game of the matchup there, it was just kind of like, you know, they were scoreless in that way, but I know there was effort put in. So what do you contribute, maybe 2010 to now, 2013? Totally different team?
I think, well, a totally different team, too, because we have a lot of different talent. You know, there's only a few girls that are on the roster that came from 2010. I think it's being able to really gel as a team and make adjustments faster. In the game against the U.S. in 2010, I mean, we, you know, get our rears handed to us type of thing, but the second part of the game was completely different than the first part of the game. Defense was able to step up and make the adjustments necessary. You know, offense got further down the field than, you know, we had in the first half, even though there wasn't any score on our part. We did hold them off defensively, whereas in the first half of the game, we did not at all. So I think being able to make adjustments faster and being able to gel faster as a team and to use all of the talent that we have, you know, you have X amount of receivers, you have X amount of running backs, you know, you can't just stick on, you can't be one-dimensional. You need to go to these people who, you know, you may not have seen them, their talent in the practices leading up to, because everybody has to shine every time they step on the field for those practices. You only have 4 hours a day and sometimes 2 hours a day leading up to. So it's about coming together as a team and making those adjustments faster and trusting each other and, you know, doing your job and leaning on your teammate to do their job so that you're, you know, you're not all over the place. And the other team gets in your head, too. I mean, it's the U.S. In 2010, as far as I knew, they had approximately 1,500 girls to choose from for their roster of, you know, between 45 and 50, whatever that number was. And in Canada here, we started with 99 girls, and at our final camps, we had 75. So our team of 45 came from 75, and their team of, you know, 45 or 50 came from 1,500. So, I mean, it's very dynamic, and we have to work to our strengths and stuff like that and really be able to go out there and make the adjustments.
Now, Trina, we'll dive into something off football here. So what's your normal aspect in terms of career, you know, that, you know, prior to football or setting foot on the football field, that fans should know about you and what you do outside of football?
Outside of football, I work for a refinery here in St. John. I'm a procedure administrator. It's not my passion, but I do enjoy my job very, very much. You know, what I enjoy doing is a lot of outside things, whether it's, you know, camping or hiking or, you know, doing stuff with my dog, doing stuff with my friends. I'm very artistic type of thing. But yeah, I live a pretty standard, normal life. I enjoy helping coach the girls when the Funding Minor teams are in action, to make sure that we have football players coming up for our leagues. But yeah, in my professional life, I work in a refinery.
Now, it, you know, the outsourcing and all that, your skills based on, you know, your career, because I always tell everybody, you know, what you do in life in terms of career or job set brings a lot of things to the table to the football sense. So what do you think is your biggest asset that you bring to the football field, you know, from your career aspect of it? Is it just, is it administrative? Is it people skills? What's something that you think is your strong point?
Because of my career and because of the job that I do and being the procedure administrator, I have to be very detailed. I have to be very methodical. I have to be kind of anal retentive, if you will. So when it comes to how things function with a procedure, I think it's a lot of how things function with a team. There's certain logical steps that happen when it comes to plays and when it comes to practicing and when it comes to you know, how people communicate across the board, whether it be at work or on a team. So my logical side comes in when I'm, you know, on a team and I expect that everybody knows what their job should be and what the steps are to, you know, to get to the end goal type of thing. And there's always going to be tasks that, you know, require a little bit of modification, or, you know, you go off and you have to do, you know, a few more steps to get to where you want to go. But I'm very logical and I'm very strategic when it comes to being on the field. So I have to, a lot of times, get it out of my own head that, you know, it's I have to do my job and not worry about everybody else's, because if you try to focus on everybody else's job at the same time, you're not going to do your own to your best ability. So.
So I could first see yourself as a coach at some point, right? Because that being a perfectionist and a detail-oriented person sometimes it narrows down to being a coach. Do you feel yourself at some point down the road, maybe if there's a coaching opportunity, would it be something that you would be inclined to do?
I would absolutely love to be, you know, in the coaching end or coaching side of the MWFL. Having coached the Fundy Minor girls a couple years as an assistant coach, it's absolutely rewarding when, you know, you go out there with girls who have, you know, either never stepped on the field before, they need help in certain areas, and, you know, when you have that skill set to pass on and you have the communication to teach these young girls coming up, it's very, very rewarding. And when I was playing rugby the year that I graduated, the year after, I came back and helped the team as well. And, you know, being able to work with girls that you've played with before and new girls, and seeing them develop and seeing them, you know, get better and better, and then, you know, the wins start rolling in and stuff like that. So I would love to take a position, something like that, when I'm done my career playing on the field and be able to help further the MWFL along, you know, in my own city.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, it sounds like, you know, the opportunities are there in that regard. Does the league have anything in terms of an initiative to get, you know, girls up in, you know, maybe in a high school mode? Because I know up in the U.S. leagues, some of the teams have made it a focal point to kind of start a grounds root level to get girls kind of participating beyond the flag football level, maybe at a level where they're older, maybe 10 or 11 years old, but they can actually participate in a full tackle league. Do you think that's something that, going forward, that's something of an initiative?
I think it's something that we need to bring more light to. The Fundy Minor League is 14 to 17, so it does encompass, you know, your late middle school to, you know, high school age girls. And then once you move on from there, you know, as long as you're 18, you get to play in the Senior Women's League. So I think there does need to be more push from a high school level. I think it has. I think the obstacles are, of course, the same as it is, you know, from university level. When you're in high school, you play a lot of high school sports. You know, right after school, you have practice for those sports, and, you know, there's transportation provided and stuff like that when you have away games a lot of times. And when it comes to sports outside of your high school and leagues outside of your high school, I think the girls find it a little bit more difficult to make that commitment, because there's so many things going on, you know, within their school that they are participating in. So it would be fantastic if we could have women's football in high school. I mean, that's how I was introduced to rugby, was in high school. There was nothing in junior high. And it had only started a couple of years before that when I played in high school. So if you could get the word out, if you know, that could be something, you know, to really focus on in the future, I think we'd have more of a success with the MWFL and carrying that on for years to come if we could get them started earlier.
Now, I know on your rugby side, very passionate player. Can you tell us a little bit about, what you do on the rugby side? Is it the national stage? Is it just local stage? Is it just a hobby for you at this point because you do football now?
Oh, I haven't touched rugby in years, unfortunately. The reason I got out of it is because I was actually taking care of my mom. She had back surgery, and I had stepped away from rugby to help take care of her. And when she was able to, return to normal life type of thing, the girls were already playing again. To come back, my coach would have put me on the field because I had already had, 4 or 5 years experience. But I actually got out of rugby in about 2001, and I started playing touch football. So I walked into touch football, never having picked up a football in my life, and ended up being quarterback for my team, and I'm still quarterback to this day for the same team. So I stepped away from rugby quite some years ago, but it was 3 years high school, and then I got to play 1 year provincial until I wrecked my knee for a year and then kind of walked away from it.
Now, can you equate to the listeners rugby and American football? I mean, what would be the big difference that you could say? Obviously equipment being the first, but what is the one thing that you would take from playing rugby and then playing American football that people can relate to?
I think one is much more strategic than the other. You do have, you have your foundations and you have your basis and you have your strategies when it comes to, lineouts, and you have your strategies when it comes to rucks. Everything else is to get in there and get the ball, as far as, rugby was when I played. And when it comes to football, I find that you hit different, clearly, than when you hit in rugby. And a lot of our girls that have a basis in rugby, when they come to football, you have to kind of teach them how to hit again. There's a lot more reaching when it comes to rugby, and there's a lot more head down, I find. Football is totally different. Your pads make you sit different. Your helmet makes you function differently. The pants, everything makes you function different. So it's a little bit of a transition. And then when you come into football, it's strategy. Depending on how your defense is lined up, this is how we're going to play it. And when you see those things, and you can make your adjustments on offense and so on, and then you go full bore for, 3 to 10 seconds, and it's, it looks like mayhem on the field, and it's all, it's all structural, but it looks like mayhem. And then you come back and, you call your next play. And then in between, when your defense is off, you're discussing, what the offense is doing and, what you can do to counteract that. And I just find football it's much more strategic. It's like a game of war every time you go out.
Now, a chess game is what most people call it. So I guess it would be considered a chess game. So, at this point, Tarina, mentally, to get ready for a game and all that, what do you do? I mean, is it music? Is it, you hang out, certain hangouts? Tell us a little bit about Tarina Graves and her routine to get ready for, or to get psyched up for the opening game.
I think for any game, my getting ready starts the night before. And I like a lot of silence at first. The day before isn't really hectic. The night before, I like to be quiet. I like to focus on all of my girls on defense and all of my girls on offense, and kind of try to pump them up in my own head and pump myself up in my own head, and send out all those good things to them, for health and strength and focus and speed, and to bring out, send energy to bring out the best in my team and to make them, may the best team win. But, of course I want that to be my team. The day of is a little bit different. It starts off quiet in the morning and stuff like that, but I have a lot of music that I like to listen to very loudly prior to. And I'm a little bit quieter on the sidelines, but my inside, it's like they describe the duck in the pond, and it's calm, cool, and collective on the surface, and underneath you're paddling for your life just because you're so amped up inside. And until you make that first huge hit, it's just everything is going every which way, I find.
Well, that sounds, the intangibles are always like, what can you do at the beginning in that regard? So how do you overcome adversity? I know I've talked to a couple players. Sometimes you go into the game really focused and you know you're going to do well, and all of a sudden the game turns to the worst. How does Tarina Graves combat the worst. Let's say we're, you know, you're getting into a situation where you're struggling. In other words, you know, let's say penalties, mm-hmm. hold, all that. How do you normally combat that?
I think you need to forget, because the point is if you go in and you're having a hard time against someone, or you're having a hard time shutting down a sweep, or you're having a hard time, you know, whatever the case is, letting it get in your head that the last play that happened, there's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can do about the touchdown they just ran back on you. There's nothing you can do about breakdown and coverage. There's nothing you can do about anything that has just happened. And if you maintain that focus on the things that you don't want to happen, that's exactly what's going to keep happening. So people get in their own heads, and teams get in their own heads. It's not the fact that the other team is doing so well. It's the fact that you're not letting go of what just happened. You need to shake that off. As, you know, you hear people yell on the field all the time, shake it off, shake it off. And if you don't do that, it's just going to keep happening. And I think that's something that teams struggle with as individuals, is because people hold on to negative much more easy than they hold on to positive. So the last time we played this team, you know, this is what worked, this is what worked, and why aren't we doing that now, type of thing. So we need to shake it off, and we need to start from scratch and go out and hit somebody. So I think getting in our own heads and, you know, forgetting about what just happened is really hard to do, but that's the only way you're going to come back from, you know, the mistakes that are being made and the mental errors and stuff like that, is to just forget about it.
Now, Tarina, everybody has a physical mindset in terms of nutrition and you know, strength training and stuff like that. So is it an ongoing thing for you even when it's non-football season? And can you tell us a little bit of what you do? I know some folks do CrossFit, some folks do Pilates, some others do, you know, different aspects. So what does Tarina Graves do to stay fit and mentally ready?
I always try to eat as healthy as I can. I'm not entirely strict with myself. You know, if I want, if I have that cheat day or what have you, I'm not going to beat myself up over it. But I do go to, our sponsor for Storm is Afterburn Performance, which is a gym here in St. John. It's not CrossFit based, but it is definitely alternative. You know, we have the turf and we have the sleds and we have the TRX structure in the middle. And we have a lot of the alternative equipment that makes it more sport specific and a lot easier to, you know, use your own body weight and, you know, get out of your standard, you know, machines. You're making your body really support itself, type of thing. And I've been going there since before Team Atlantic, when we went to the National Cup in Montreal in August. So I started there in, I believe it was the end of June, that I really started going to Afterburn, and I've been going ever since. So outside of our practices for Storm, I attend Afterburn, and it's a program based specifically for football that's created by a trainer, and you can either have that trainer work with you on a regular basis or just, you know, provide you with the program, which is the route that I went. But, you know, I have a dog and I get him out on runs, you know, regularly, and then I have my gym time, and, you know, I also like to do the stretching and whatnot. I think you need to have a good basis for everything, because if you pump the iron and you don't stretch yourself out, it really doesn't matter how strong you are if you can't move on the field. So
that makes good sense there, and that's good insights on there. So on the off-base program for the Storm, do you guys, is it individual at this point, or is there something that you guys gather prior to the season? I mean, like this year, was it the 90 days out, 60 days out? It's planned out or scheduled, or is it something more of a self practicing for each other?
Well, in off season, it's up to you to maintain your, you know, your physical fitness, type of thing. Usually either February or March of the beginning of the year. Sometimes we've done it as early as the end of January. This year we were a little late getting started. We usually have some gym time, to bring in new players and to get some conditioning down, to get their mobility down, the normal football moves, type of thing, and really start with the basics, so that when we go into positional and stuff like that, that everybody's ready for it and everyone has the conditioning, you know, to keep up. And then we move to the, you know, getting gear and getting out on the field, type of thing. So we normally start between February and March, getting the girls in the gym and stuff like that, and gym as in gymnasium, type of thing. Any other physical fitness outside of that would be the individual's responsibility.
Now, Tarina, I know that everybody's doing fundraising at this point. Do you guys have a GoFundMe.com account, or how is the fundraising going for the the members that are going to go to Finland from Team Canada at this point?
A lot of it's individual. I mean, we've had some of the girls from Fredericton, you know, they had a stake in Stein, and, they've done bottle drives and stuff like that. Unfortunately, we don't have the online accounts. We don't have the means for it. But the girls in St. John, myself and Lori Boyles, we just had a fundraiser last night for bowling, and we do a couple little things on the side type of thing. Bake sales, all the little stuff, but you know, it's a small community, and you know, women's tackle football isn't a huge staple, and you know, we're trying hard to get that out and to get the word out, but it's very hard to get corporate sponsors, and it's very hard to get businesses to, you know, to donate time or sponsorships or anything like that. And I mean, I'm sure the economy has a lot to do with it. A lot of the businesses and whatnot that I approached personally, had already, allocated their sponsorship for the year, or, it's just not in the budget type of thing. But sponsorship is very difficult, very, very difficult. And I think it has to do with, we're a small community, and the Maritimes are smaller. So getting the word out is one thing, but then asking for the businesses and whatnot to support us and the individuals to support us gets a little difficult. So we're almost there. I don't think we're quite there yet, but we're almost there.
Now, is it something that needs to be addressed with maybe Football Canada, to help out? I know that in the U.S., when we're talking USA Football in that regard, they're working on trying to get some sort of structure to where it's a match-on-match structure. In other words, if somebody comes up with, let's say it's $2,000 to go to Finland, if you build up to $1,500 of your own, then it's matched, corporately matched from somebody else. So is there something that maybe Football Canada that you know of will be working on something like that maybe for the future tournaments coming up?
I honestly don't know anything about programs as far as funding goes. I know that we can apply to our provincial governments. We have applications into the province of New Brunswick for athletic grants type of thing. But as far as Football Canada, I don't know of anything that would be in the funding area for the women's football.
Okay, great. Let me get your take on IFAF. What do you think of IFAF? What do you think of, the effort that they're trying to make now, obviously with, some big corporate sponsors as well for tournaments? I know they've done tournaments, for the juniors and seniors, and now this is kind of like a brand new realm for them, to do women's tackle football and set it up in their scope. So what do you think of the IFAF, global scope? Do you think it's a positive move for women's gridiron?
I think any kind of support for women's gridiron is going to be positive. When it starts at nothing and, one step up the ladder, it's got to be something. So I think it's fantastic that, women's football is being included. Any kind of strides that, Football Canada or IFAF or, individual leagues, any steps that they can make for sponsorship and to really get, the highlight and the spotlight put on women's tackle football and how amazing it is, is going to be a step in the right direction. So if that's in fact what, the direction that IFAF is going, then I think it's fantastic.
So Trina, before we let you go here, what is in Trina Gray's future? Is it retirement from football? Is it moving on from football in a couple of years? Is it, going into coaching? I mean, what can the fans expect from Trina Gray's in the next, year or two or 5 years, within 5 years here?
I think they can expect coaching. I was going to retire last year, and I decided that because I really wanted to push for 2013, and I wanted to represent my country again, and there was improvements that I wanted to make, because I tried out for defense in 2010 and I made offense for different reasons. And my whole goal is to be on defense for Team Canada and to show my talent on defense. And so I came back and trained harder and worked harder and am able to say that I'm reaching that goal for myself. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, going forward, whether, you know, next year will be in the coaching realm, I believe this is going to be my last season as a player for St. John Storm.
So now, Tuina, if you win gold, which we know at this point that is your goal, if you win gold, mm-hmm. what would it mean to you and, you know, to your obviously your teammates at the point? Because obviously that's a big honor to represent your country, but to win gold, do you think the opportunity is there for you guys to kind of go through and finish up in the last game like you did in 2010?
I think it's absolutely an opportunity for us to go and to finish up in the last game and to come back and say this is what we learned from the last time and these are the adjustments that we knew we had to make and we're going to come out even stronger than we were before. And regardless if we have, you know, five girls from 2010 or if there's 10 girls from 2010, I think the mentality is going to be completely different because you have to take those lessons that you learned and you have to apply them to, you know, to this coming season. So it's going to mean everything. You know, if I could walk away from my last year and, you know, as a player in tackle football with a gold medal around my neck, you know, for you know, the Worlds and come home and hopefully be able to do the same, you know, in the Maritime Women's Football League and take back the championship here, you know, it would be the absolute ultimate dream to have that come to fruition on both sides of it.
Okay, so that sounds great because, you know, the opportunity is there and everybody enjoys that. And I think ultimately, you know, representing your country is like the biggest step. There's a new player in the tournament. What do you see of Team Spain? Do you know anything about Team Spain at this point? Because I know Team Germany, everybody kind of already touched base on and all the other teams. But Team Spain, do you think they're – they consider underdog at this point. What do you consider, you know, the new team into the tournament? Is it going to be a surprise, or do you think it's something where they're going to have a hardship?
I don't think you can discount anybody. I really don't. You know, the team that we just played the other day, the score may not reflect it entirely, but it's a team that really, really has struggled in the last few years, you know, against the other leagues, teams in the league. And, you know, making the adjustments that they have and stuff like that, we went into the game yesterday knowing that we couldn't discount them whatsoever. We had to go in as if we had never played that team before. So I think that it would be foolish for anyone to go in against Spain and think that they're, because they go in as an underdog or, you know, having never, you know, participated in Worlds before, that they would be considered to be, you know, the ones, the team to lose. So I think we need to go in. I haven't personally seen any footage on Team Spain. I don't intend to go and look up a lot on Team Spain because I don't want to go in with any prejudice and think that because they're the underdog, we're not going to, you know, have any trouble. So I don't think anyone can discount them.
Now, you're on the defensive side of the ball. Now, let's look at the offensive side. I had Amy Kowalski, and then we have obviously Sadia Ashraf. What do you think of your mm-hmm. quarterbacks on Team Canada at this point? What's your perception of them in terms of leadership?
I haven't seen a lot from the Saskatchewan. It is Saskatchewan, yes, or the Amy. I haven't seen a lot from her only because we don't get to see a lot of what goes on with the Western leagues. But having played on the offensive side with Sadia in 2010, she has an incredible mind for the game. Very, very smart, very strategic. And I think if we can all pull together, you know, she has the leadership skills in order to, you know, take us through. We just need to be able to, you know, rely on each other and lean on each other when, you know, we don't play on the same team all the time. This is going to be a week beforehand that we get to actually come together. But I think the leadership abilities that Sadia has specifically are going to be, you know, a testament to how our offense is going to perform. And I'm certain that Amy from out west, because of the performance of her home team, I think is just going to bring that much more skill. So I think we're in great shape for quarterbacks.
Awesome. Now, that's, you know, and the potential is there for them to shine because they're coming off of what I consider the Western League has been a very good competitive league all the way around. You know, the Valkyries in Saskatoon, the Regina Riot, very competitive. And this year it's going to be no different. The playoffs starting next week, and they're going neck and neck again is to see who goes to the final. So it's going to be kind of an impressive outing there. But and then you have Sadia, who took the Blitz into a U.S. league, which the Montreal Blitz mm-hmm. is the only team in a U.S.-based league. And I thought that spoke volume, you know, for the Canadian girls to you know, take it all the way down and win the championship for the Independent Women's Football League. So this year they seem to be on the same roll. So it's going to be mm-hmm. very impressive to take Sadia, to take the Blitz once again, maybe as back to back champs, and then all of a sudden mm-hmm. maybe take even Team Canada into a gold winning stage. So huge upside for you guys all the way around for in terms of Team Canada and in terms of some of the leagues. And I really feel, on my end, studying other leagues, your leagues are smaller, and I think it's really a benefit to that, because in the U.S. leagues, what I see is a lot of teams being pounded or being put together, but the quality of play is literally minimized. You know, there's a lot of blowouts in the U.S. leagues that I see mm-hmm. that's an issue. In your leagues, there's some blowouts, but majority of the time, all your scores are within a touchdown or two, you know, so that shows very competitive football, you know, on the defensive side of it and on the offensive side of it, because obviously it's very competitive. So I think there's a downside there in terms of the U.S. leagues. There's just too many teams, and I feel like when I'm watching as a fan, because I am a fan, when I'm watching as a fan, it kind of dilutes the quality, because, example, the Women's Football Alliance playoffs will start in about a week or two here. And that's really where the real test is. And that's where fans get really mm-hmm. excited, because, the neck-and-neck teams or the equal match teams show up in the playoffs. So if somebody
that's
runs
right.
the table in their division, 7-0, but when you get to the first round of the playoffs is really when you're tested. And, you know, was it a true 7-0 or was it really more of a 4-3? So
that's right.
That's usually
right.
the scope of it. So what do you think on your league, competitive-wise, what's the biggest challenge for St. John within the other three teams at this point early in the season? Do you think it's still the Mac and Vipers?
I think this year we're really on the same level. We have a lot of rookies on the Vipers. We have a lot of rookies on Storm. There's a lot of new girls on Halifax. Halifax has brand new coaching. Fredericton is completely, revamping. Everyone is changing things up, and everyone is trying to make those strides to be better. We actually didn't start off our league in 2004 with open blitzing, like out west. There is no blitz rules, your corners, your free safeties, anybody can go type of thing. And we've always had a rule in our Maritime Women's Football League that you have to be in the box to go. So this is our first year that has been expanded to say that your DNs don't have to hook. So you have that
wow.
extra person. So we are actually only starting to really get into, stepping up the level of play and really forcing teams to change and forcing teams to get better and, expanding our knowledge, on play. So we're kind of coming out of the dark ages. Even though we were the first league, we didn't start off with those open rules because, it was to protect the girls. But in the long run, it's kind of set us back a little bit. So for me as a defensive end this year, not having to hook is like, a cherry on the top of the cake. But
well, of course, that's like an open, what do they call it, open invitation to murder.
Open that's invitation, right. That's right.
So, drive and punch and punish, or drive and punish is the term. Oh, that's great.
That
is
right.
That sounds, and it does affect the game, how it's played, because like you said, you're taught one way, and then all of a sudden the rules open up and you're hesitant at the beginning because you're just, you're so used to doing it one way for so long.
That's right. Everybody has to be better. Yeah, everybody
has
to step it up. Your tackles have to step it up. Your guards, your running backs on pass blocking, and your defense when you drop somebody in there, for the quick pass over the top. There's so many other things to watch for. It really expands play. So we are so on the same level, across the board. Moncton being so with so many rookies. I mean, they beat Fredericton 17-14, I think it was, the other day. And Fredericton had just beat Halifax 25-0. So, and we beat Moncton 21-16. So it's so all over the board at the beginning of the season that it's become more and more exciting to see what these teams have to offer, because when we first play the team, you have no idea what to expect. When we play Fredericton this weekend, we have no idea what to expect from that team this year because there's so many things that are different.
And I think that's exciting for fans, and it's also exciting for the players, because like you said, you're mm-hmm. going into a mindset where it's kind of a clean slate in a lot of ways, because you can't expect somebody that is rolling or having a good season all of a sudden but it's equal match. So that's a good sign for competitive football, because you really need to have that. Sometimes you don't want the blowouts.
Very
exciting. Within a touchdown, within a field goal, or maybe two touchdowns, I think it's still competitive football. But when you go beyond two touchdowns and you're getting blown out, it's really, you know, for a fan's perspective, it's kind of a downer in that way. But when it's competitive to the end, I think everybody's kind of excited to, you know, to be there as well. So what's been the turnout for you attendance-wise in the league so far this year? Is it in the thousands or above it, or has it been good turnout for you guys in terms of your games so far?
our turnouts are quite small, and by quite small, I'm saying under 100 people type of thing. We don't have big stadiums. When we played Moncton, you know, the guys had played before us, the guys' team, and there was some fans left in the stands type of thing. But I would say we averaged about 50 that game, and, you know, 50 is a good number. when we played here in St. John for our home opener, we had a lot of fans out, and I'm saying, you know, probably under 100. But as far as the Maritime Women's Football League goes, you know, up until a couple of years ago, nobody knew that we existed. You know, until we sent girls away from Team Canada, we were like, what do you mean girls play football in St. John? Nobody had any idea. We're the oldest league in Canada, but nobody had any clue. So we have small communities, we have small turnouts, you know, it's family and friends type of thing, you know, with the girls on the teams. But it's fantastic seeing the fans there. I don't really care how many are over there as long as you can hear them.
Yeah, no, that's really the positive out of everything. It's just there's at least something coming to view it and check you out. So the only reason I said 1,000 is because there's, you know, obviously leagues that are within that range, especially in the States, you know, and a good crowd of 1,000 people is probably equate to, 3,500 or 4,000 in a regular, you know, higher size stadium.
Right.
So the ratio is probably similar to that in that way. So 50 is no different than maybe, you know, 500, and that's it. So
going overseas, you know, when there was other teams and all their fans and their families and stuff like that in the stands when we were in Sweden, I mean, it was pretty surreal to have that many people, you know, for me and for the girls from the Maritimes, you know, seeing that many people in the stands was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling that, you know, there is an amount of support that sometimes you don't even realize about the sport, you know, and so it helps out
that way.
That's right. Before we go, Trina, what do you think, I get perspective from everybody, I just want to get a perspective on you. What do you think of the Legends Football League in your eyes, and do you think at this point, can it help women's football in that sense in some aspect?
I have to admit that I was, you know, one, you know, a few years ago to be kind of prejudiced when it came to, you know, when everything started with the lingerie league. It's the Legends League now, and I have to say, you know, I'm one of the ones that kind of looked at it and said, come on now. But, you know, you watch these women and you see the pictures and you see, you know, I was just watching one online the other day. I was researching some of the videos and, you know, the girls in the locker room at halftime, and, you know, they get just as emotional as we do, and they play just as hard as we do. And I think the persona is the thing that holds it back. It's not the fact that, I mean, they're amazing athletes when you take the time and look at it. But I think the persona that it starts with is what you need to work past. As someone who's only ever played, you know, full gear women's tackle football, it's a little different. It's something I've never been exposed to, so I don't have any right to say that, you know, that it's not what it is, and it's you know, it's hardcore football. So as far as my perspective, I think that myself and other people, when they look at it, need to be a little bit more open to, you know, the women who play and not the overlying persona, you know, what other people make it out to be.
And in reality, it really boils down to, elevating the sport in some ways. I mean, what I consider it is, it's pretty much a marketing angle that they've done a great job at marketing it. And I think it really, that's what the bottom line is. And if they can do a great job of marketing and expose it to bring a viewership in, at, you know, maybe down the road here in another 3 or 4 or 5 years, it will help ultimately women's football altogether, because from their game style, maybe you start to see arena full kit women's football, and it builds mm-hmm. up from there. You know what I mean? So maybe at some point it'll launch something else. And I know there's two ventures that I'm aware of. They're going to kick off arena full kit style, you know, 8-on-8 next season in 2014. So we'll see how mm-hmm. you know how the Legends Football League can somehow benefit being on YouTube and being present internationally. How will that benefit maybe some of the full kit ventures with the 8-on-8 leagues that are supposed to be coming up? So I'm kind of excited to right. see how that transformation will evolve the sport in a sense, because that's really what it will boil down to, is the people getting to realize whether it is Legends style football, or whether it be full kit indoor arena, or whether it be 11-on-11, traditional. I think it'll help the sport in general. So it's been great talking to you, Trina. I really appreciate you making the time to have a chat with us and interview here. I know the fans appreciated it because they wanted us to get somebody from the Maritimes, and I didn't. I thought, why not get the best person, from the Maritime, which is representing Team Canada, and you were on the 2010 team. So I really appreciate you, accommodating us and taking the effort to showcase yourself here for the short amount of time here. And I hope that Team Canada will do well. I really hope that you guys are going to kick some butt and put yourselves mm-hmm. back in the position to maybe get the gold medal. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate your time and coming on the show, and I thank you for that.
And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that. And, anything that I can do to really emphasize the fact that, the Maritime Women's Football League might be small, but, man, we have a lot of talent. And in listening to the pre-show that you were talking about before your computer malfunction, I had no idea. There's so many leagues. There's so much that I don't know still about women's tackle football across, Canada, across the U.S., in other countries and stuff like that. So I really appreciate what you're doing with your show and stuff like that, and just bringing to light how fantastic women are in this sport.
And that's what that's our devotion. When we started this mm-hmm. whole thing, was for us to devote ourselves socially. And I'm sort of a nerd in a lot of ways. So when it came down to, the getting to notice, we really made an effort on our behalf. And I mean, our staff and everybody that's involved with us, we really made an effort to, put ourselves out there and network. And I think that's really what it all boils down to, is we're networking, we're really growing. We're only 3 years in, but we hope that within the next 2 or 3 years, our goal is to really put together, working with photographers, we're putting together a situation where we can enhance a Tweena Graves in a different way. For example, as a player, put together mm-hmm. something that will be impactful on Facebook, on Instagram, getting the word out to help those individual leagues to put a face to the player, and then obviously ultimately have the fans understand that this is no different than NFL football. This is no different than any type of traditional football. The only difference is it's a female athlete instead of a male athlete.
That's right.
But the outcome of the game, the strategic parts of the game, is no different than an NFL game. So that's our goal. It really is to elevate the fans' awareness to the amazing women that play the sport of traditional football, and now internationally, it's going to be even greater. So it's great that the IFAB is doing that, and I think it's going to speak volumes for fans that obviously have never engaged in that aspect. So, but thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. You can always direct message us if you want us to come on board with the show, or if you have somebody in mind that we should interview from your league that is a standout player or somebody that we need to, have the fans know about and really engage in that sense. So I really would appreciate if you can get the word out and let them know that they're welcome on to the show. We can schedule them on, and we can have the same chat we had here with the bar style motion. And I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So look forward to maybe a future after the event and tournament in Finland, maybe get together one more time and see how that went and how the experience was for
awesome.
You and all that. All right, Trina,
thank you so much
for making the time. I appreciate it, and have a good evening and safe travels out there.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Trina Graves from the St. John Storms of the Maritime Women's Football League. And like she said, you know, it's a small town league. They've been in place for 10 years. They are doing everything they can to elevate the game there. And, you know, whether you have a small amount of fanfare or whether you have a large amount of fanfare, the love for the sport is what is the ultimate. So they have a great love for the sport. They have four teams, very competitive league, similar to the Western Canadian Football League. So applause to them for their efforts. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's in the area and in the you know, in Canada. They're the oldest organization in terms of women's gridiron in Canada. So that bodes well for them. And logistically going forward, I'm pretty sure they're going to improve that as well. So hats off to them. Hats off to Trina Graves for being on the show for us. And we wish her very well in the tournament in Finland for Team Canada and all of her teammates to do well. And, you know, the ultimate clash would be against Team USA as well. So maybe they will get their shining moment in Finland at Vantaa. So we'll go into the two-minute drill so we can finish off the show. And we went a little bit over at this point. But the two-minute drill is sponsored by No Joke Football gear, your attitude. So if you can get it at Zazzle.com, Great Iron Beauties, and you can also customize it if you need to at that point. So let's go into the two-minute drill and give you some finer points about this. In the Legends Football League last night on YouTube, if you missed it, there was two games, Atlanta Steam versus Cleveland Crush. That was a 49-40 game, a very entertaining game. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube on the Legends Football League page. Brittany Morgan, Sarah Johnson, and you had the talented Tamar Fennell, as well as the upstart Tia Nipper, and she's going to be somebody to look at for this season in the Legends Football League. So be on the lookout for Tia Nipper out of the Cleveland Crush. Jacksonville Breeze, 27-12 win over Baltimore Charm, and that was also on the YouTube channel. And we talked about Ashley Hempstaller retiring from the LFL as well, so we wish her well in her career. And last night in Omaha, the Shocker in Ralston, the Omaha Heart expansion team, beat the top-ranked Jacksonville Breeze 8-0 in a defensive game. So shout-out to Lindsay Noble and Raina Berryman for their contributions, as well as the Shantae Bontine and Lindsay Burham for their defensive capabilities on their team. So great event and great game in Ralston, Nebraska for the Legends Football League. So we go into the notes in the Maritime League. We had the scores 21-16. Storm versus Vipers, that was on May 25th, and then yesterday was Glad 13, Vipers 17, Explosion 7, and Storm 34. So that was a great weekend in terms of the Maritime. And you go into the WCFL, and we had talked about earlier in the broadcast, a huge slate of games in the playoffs, and they're slated for June 8th and June 9th. The title game is June 15th in Regina, so it's going to be the Prairie Conference Championship Final, Saskatoon Valkyries against the Regina Rage. The 2012 results was 35-21, which they met before. And on May 26th of this year, they also met, and Saskatoon came on top 48-45, who Regina had previously beaten early in the season. So we'll see how the results will be, whether Regina moves on or whether Saskatoon goes back to the final for a third consecutive year in that sense. The Western Conference Final is going to be Lethbridge Steel versus Edmonton Storm. Same results here, 2012, Lethbridge beat Edmonton. So there's a little bit of a revenge factor there. And then going into the title game, Lethbridge and Edmonton are looking for a return to the title game. They were both in the 2011-2012 semifinals, and they went into the final stage and lost the final as well. So runners-up, the Storm in 2011 and Lethbridge in 2012. So Riot, Valkyrie is what everybody's looking forward to, but don't overlook the Steel and obviously the Storm playing. Today, the results from yesterday was Lethbridge 24-6 over Northern Anarchy, and Anarchy had their their new season hiccups as an expansion team. Calgary 13, Edmonton 25, and everybody was hyped on the Rage doing something this year, and unfortunately the Edmonton Storm comes up on top. Earlier this afternoon, a Manitoba Fearless 10, and the Winnipeg Nomads came back in the fourth quarter, huge comeback, and they take care of the Fearless 21-10. So congratulations to the Nomads for their amazing turnaround in the fourth quarter. So we go into Team Legacy, winning the title in the Guam Women's Tackle Football League. 47-0 over the Island Stunners. So Team Legacy retains their title, and they had an undefeated season of 10-0. Shout out to Morgan Reyes, Gia Sarasol, and Don Mon for their amazing updates on Facebook. We truly appreciate their efforts there. WFA notes, there's the top offensive teams in the WFA going into week 9. Chicago Force continues to be the force in the WFA, followed by Boston Militia, Cleveland Fusion, who has surprised everybody this year. You're looking at the Utah Jinx as well, and then the San Diego Surge, the Atlanta, I believe the Atlanta Phoenix, if I'm correct, as well. Top five fewest points allowed, the Fusion leads the league, and fewest points allowed at, second fewest points allowed, Dallas Diamonds lead the league in fewest points allowed at 14, followed by the Fusion. Then you take into account Miami Fury, the Atlanta Phoenix, and then Chicago as well, fewest points allowed. Week 9 matchups to note, it was 16-10, Mayhem versus Indy Crash, Derby City 14-0 over Toledo Reign, Columbus Comets 27-0 over the Dark Angels, Pittsburgh 36-27 in the always heated Eastern Division matchup there, 36-27, and Lisa Horton and Crystal Cazzo, Rachel Wadowski, they had a great game against the Divas, as well as the Diva players, Kenjeta Grisby, Sherry Marshall, and Melissa Bedwell on sacks. Allison Hamill and Casey Hillard as well played a great game for the Divas. So if you missed it, you can go back into our timeline, or you can go directly to @Pittsburgh Passion on Twitter, or at DC Football on Twitter as well. Chicago beat up the KC Titans, two undefeated teams in the Windy City, 51-7. Weather conditions, a big factor there. There was lightning strikes and all that, so it became a situation where the weather played a big role in that matchup. But 51-7, KC came out of it with some injuries, so hopefully they will recover for the playoffs at this point. But Chicago keeps going on a roll, and this is just an extreme offensive unit. So Seattle Majestics, 26-14 over the Portland Shockwave, kind of a Northwest matchup there. And Majestics are also 7-0 in the season. So if you look at the top teams in the WFA, Militia 8-0, Fusion 7-0, Chicago 7-0, Phoenix 7-0, Dallas Customary 7-0, Majestics 7-0, the War Angels 7-0, the Surge 6-1, the Inferno 6-1, Titans drop off to 5-1, the Slam is at 5-2, just barely coming down. Utah Jinx 5-2 as well. So IWFL notes, Wisconsin Warriors are 5-0, Carolina Phoenix 5-0, Philadelphia Firebirds 4-0, Houston Energy, huge improvement team 4-0. Keystone Assault continues their assault from the WFA moving into the IWFL. So exciting weekend of football coming up in the next weekend. Week 8 matchups for the IWFL see the Wisconsin, clash and rivalry, which is the Warriors against the Madison Blaze, Madison 3-1, Warriors 5-0, as well as the in San Diego and Texas. In Texas, you'll have San Antonio Regulators taking on the Houston Energy. In Arizona, you'll have the Phantoms taking on the Tucson Monsoon. Montreal is in a non-league game, so it's probably not going to be a factor. Keystone taking on their rival Erie Illusion in the in-state rivalry there, and the Firebirds taking on the Baltimore Nighthawks. So we'll see what the matchups look up that in that regard. So hopefully there'll be a lot of exciting actions. And we almost forgot the WSFL notes. The Sharks from the WFA defeated the Baltimore Burn from the WSFL 32-0. So we'll look forward to next week. We'll have a new guest, new show, No Joke Football Huddle coming up for next week as well. So look forward to that. I want to thank Trina Graves for coming on the board on board with us and chat about Team Canada and the Maritimes League. We look forward to next week to having a new guest and exciting news and more in terms of the playoff picture in the WFA, as well as more action from the IWFL and then Legends Football League as well. So this has been Oscar Lopez. We will see you next week for Gridiron Beauties Radio right here on Block Talk Radio. Thank you and have a good afternoon.